for joining us for the MassMEP Manufacturing Podcast, Transforming Manufacturing Enterprises.
MassMEP understands that there are so many elements to a manufacturer's business, whether it's finding their inefficiencies, strengthening their internal processes, or unlocking their growth that can extend a manufacturer beyond its current limitations.
Every episode, take a journey with us as we talk with manufacturers, legislature, subject matter experts, and so many more as we head down the path of manufacturing across the state of Massachusetts.
Whether we're in the Northeast,
Southeast,
Central, or Western regions of the Commonwealth,
every episode will explain more about manufacturing and what's happening in your own backyard. Hello, everyone. Welcome to MassMEP Manufacturing Podcast. I'm Haley Steele.
And I'm Kevin Tata.
It is episode 114, Manufacturing Uncut, the full recap episode, April.
How exciting.
That means that April's over and May has begun.
Get ready for those May flowers.
Or may the 4th be with you. Yes. Yep. May the 4th be with you. And Cinco de Mayo.
I gotta get, well, when's that? When's Cinco de Mayo?
Monday.
Oh, right. So that's May 5th. I gotta get a post up for May 4th, for sure.
May the 4th be with you.
I don't worry about Cinco de Mayo. Star Wars is much more important than Cinco de Mayo.
Way more important. So our recap episode, we shook things up. Obviously, we've got some guests with us today because... I actually did make the statement to them that we love to recap on our months at MassMEP and what we do. And unfortunately, Kevin and I weren't able to be in attendance for a couple of the events we did this month. And so for us to be able to, we thought we'd bring in the experts that were there and heavily involved with the events, because like we say, we like to have the subject matter experts on hand and for them to speak more intelligently to the topics of conversation versus what Kevin and I could possibly come up with. So
hey, speak for yourself.
Without further ado, though, I do want to introduce the two of you. So today we have with us Olivia Antonelli, and you are who, what, where, why, and how with MassMEP?
Supply Chain Program Manager, Auburn, Massachusetts. MassMEP, why? Because manufacturer is awesome and supply chain is challenging. Did I get them all? Who, what, where, why?
You got it. You got it. You got it. Welcome, Liv. Welcome, Liv. Welcome to the recap. And we have with us Dr. Matt Berard, who, what, where, when, why at MassMEP.
And I have to follow Olivia, so I have to do this good. So Matt Berard, the Associate Director for Workforce Development, Auburn, Mass. And the why, because workforce matters.
Well said.
Well done. Very well done. Very well done. Very well done. Okay, so everybody is hanging on the edge of their seats right now because they love the comedy skits that we put together. It's like that famous Saturday night show that everybody loves to watch because we're equally as entertaining as they are. I'm going to ask you guys a joke. You guys ready for this?
Yep.
Yes,
I'm ready.
Why don't manufacturers ever play hide and seek?
Why?
Because good luck hiding when your lean processes eliminates all the waste.
Ba-dum. Oh my God.
Wow.
Wait a minute. And you didn't want me to get my dad.
No, because I don't. Listen, we have no problem filling in that gap. So, Kevin, let's kind of recap the month of April. And then we'll do, we'll have Olivia and Matt both touch on what they did and their roles in the month of April for us. What did we do in the month of April at MassMEP?
So we started things off, well, we ended March with the Women's Day event. There that is. We started off April.
Which, by the way, last month we had this argument between us because we went back and forth and I was like, what is it? In like a lion, out like a lamb.
Oh, yeah.
So, but we, for some reason at MassMP, always seem to do things backwards. We always like to, we don't front load the month. We like to leave the month kind of empty, and then we love to just burn ourselves out at the end of the month. So for some reason, we do a great job of that. So we actually came in like a lamb and went out like a lion in the month of March.
I believe our first event for April was on April 15th.
Yeah.
Repositioning for Opportunity Workshop Series.
Okay. So this was, this is You and I Live. This is the one that we both were in. This was for so this event was a workshop series, repositioning for opportunity. There were three workshops. Olivia and I both sat in attendance for these workshops, and this was for navigating the clients, their value, and market alignment. And it was hosted by us and MassCEC. And it was a series for minority and women-owned manufacturers to guide them in how to pivot through actionable insights, expanding networks, and thriving in the clean energy sector. So the first workshop was finding, qualifying, and managing potential customers. Liv, you had a much better grip on that. How do you feel? That was for those that were in attendance, and maybe give a little bit of a kind of insight as to what we actually did in that workshop.
Sure. Yeah. No, it was a great event. And in terms of the focus of that session was specifically on clean energy scale ups and startups. So not necessarily that audience in attendance, but the machine shops that we had in the audience, teaching them how to find these scale ups that are looking for contract manufacturers and how to best market themselves and their capabilities to fit these companies, or so essentially that these scale ups who are in search of resources for companies to partner with, that they find these companies that were in our webinar or in our session. So it was a great, we talked about AI, a little bit of value proposition, which we ended up diving much deeper into in sessions 2 and 3. But we're able to utilize some great tools on how to engage with these companies and how to position their businesses. So it was a great first session to kick off the series.
Yeah, the cool thing about this is so MassCEC is kind of they're the backbone of this and kind of pushing it forward. And we partnered with them because they saw what experience and knowledge we could bring forward for these three workshops. As Liv said, then the second workshop was crafting a value proposition that st stands out, and then the third workshop was building a winning marketing and sales plan. And then in workshop 2 and 3, we had more companies, right, that weren't just machine shops. We had quite a variety. We had was there like a there was a food?
There's a food company that created oils.
Okay.
We had machine shops. Who else did we have in there? A boat making company, all across the board.
It was pretty cool. It was very varied. What's nice about something like this is when you have the support of MassCEC, you're able to then be able to do these workshop multiple of these. So this is not the first that we are doing. We will be doing more of these in the next year, right? Is that about right? Okay. And they are specifically centered for minority and women-owned manufacturers. I'm gonna say that again, for minority and women-owned manufacturers. Listen to this, that you don't have to be certified minority and women-owned, correct?
Correct.
Yeah, so you don't, like, if you're a minority or woman-owned company, you can participate in this workshop. And if you have questions about upcoming workshops, you can reach out to us on our contact us page. But you that doesn't mean that you have to have gone through that whole certification process, right?
Yep, exactly right.
Okay. So if you're one of those that always looked at that, and the reason we say that is because we do hear a lot of times from a lot of these manufacturers that are a minority and women owned that it can be a lot of work, cumbersome, and I think it's the upkeep with staying as a minority and woman owned business. And so, you don't have to have that certification in order to participate. for this workshop. So this we hope will be coming up again over the next year that we do, I would say probably one of these workshops every quarter. So it might be a couple of more, probably a couple more months maybe until we start have the next one up. But if you are interested, you want to attend the workshop, feel free. The Peter Russo, who led the training session, remind me, Liv, what is the name of his company?
New approach development.
There you go. New approach. So new approach. So Peter has been heavily connected to the MEPs, specifically Mass MEP, for many a years. And he, the man has pretty much done anything and everything I can think of possible, right? He's connected to, I don't know how many hundreds of patents, I think, that he's got his name on, that he, yeah, very like super entwined, super passionate about the manufacturing world. His background falls in marketing, and then over his career, he has really expanded his knowledge, and he can look at something in a very unique way that maybe the rest of us don't always see. And so it's kind of cool to have him involved. But he runs the workshop, and then over time, Olivia and potentially myself, some of the other team members at Mass MEP, we will be running these workshops as well. So for, you know, if you are a manufacturer out there and you're thinking about, I really could use a value proposition, and I really would love to be able to get involved. And is this something that, you know, do you offer this to company, other companies? Yes. Yes, we do. And yes, we can. And we can do that. We can put you in a training, really, is what it would be centered around. We would love to be able to work with more manufacturers on that. I think one of the things we spoke about was we're starting to see that the manufacturers now today are back almost into that world where it's more emotionally connected, and saying that something such as a value proposition or marketing, even finding, qualifying, and managing potential customers. I mean, you're starting to see that if you have a product or a service that you offer, that you need to kind of start with the emotions and your emotions of why you do what you do and why you started doing what you do, and then kind of working with that and molding that into your potential clients or customers, and then your value proposition that would come that you would use to get them in there, and then the marketing that you develop from that value proposition on how to keep them and how to build and grow your manufacturing business. So yeah, that was a good one. So look at that. You like dual purpose today, like multiple events. This is good. I like it. Yeah, it was good.
She's got her handprint in a couple of these events that Mass MEP has been a part of this month.
Yeah. So we did that. We did that April 15th,
15th.
22nd, and 29th. So we actually did that three. We did three of those workshops. It was under one block, but we did that the three different workshops over those 3 weeks in the month of April. So there you go. What was next?
And then, we love to have the back-to-back events. The last couple of months we've had back-to-back events, like at least one of them in each of the months. But next April 16th we head over to the Workplace Safety and Education Training Information Session. This was a great opportunity for manufacturers who are looking to improve their workplace safety and enhance their compliance and create a safer, more efficient environment for their team. Mass MEP teamed up with safety trainers with Kate Chilton from Safety Trainers. And this was just an information session to break down everything that the manufacturers needed to know about the comprehensive training program that's fully covered by the DIA training grants. And then we went over the simple application and registration process for these training grants. Learned best practices from previous companies, and then hear from safety trainers, the experts who understand the unique safety challenges of manufacturing.
Robin Anderson was in this with us, is our administration manager. She is really the backbone behind this grant. Kim Hunter also is very involved with the grant side of it. What they're doing right now is if you go onto our website right now, you actually will see that these current safety trainings are going on right now. They're happening. I know, I think next week they had to shuffle one of the courses, but you can go onto our website, and if you go under our events, you will be able to see the safety education trainings that are workplace safety and education training sessions. You'll see it. And then if you click into that, you'll be able to see all the different sessions that are happening. What happens is the DIA, which is the Department of Industrial Accidents, every year there's an open application process. We submit an application to try to get the funding. And then we were awarded the funding last year, which allowed us to partner with safety trainers and put these sessions on again. And so this information session was to teach and educate the manufacturers on we're going to do it again, and we're going to go back for more money to get more of these workplace safety and education training sessions put into place, partner with safety trainers. We hold them in our facility. Or sometimes they actually can be held, like manufacturers can actually apply for this themselves as well. So they can actually apply for the funding. And if they receive the funding, they actually have to do a lot of they do the legwork, the paper, like all the paperwork, all the report outs. We know it, more familiar with it, because we all deal with grants every day, this entire group of us in here especially. So we understand what goes with that. So you can apply for it on your own, and that for next year will be opening in June. Or you can join us now for these trainings that are taking place. This is for the year 2025 year. In June it opens for 2026, and there are still some classes that are still available at no cost. It's net zero cost to the manufacturers to attend these training sessions. The Department of Industrial Accidents does fall under the state, and they do understand and see the value of why we need to do this and why these courses need to be there. Not to pick on an industry, but I'm going to pick on an industry. But if you now, I think a lot of the hot topics we're hearing is about the cannabis industry and what's happening in that, and that it just, to nobody's fault, right? An industry that starts, takes off, it has an immediate jet up, and then as they're building the plane as they go, and then they're starting to realize, wait a second. There's a lot of safety things that we maybe didn't think through that we need to have. And so, like people in that industry are starting to realize, wait a second, we need to start attending more of these safety trainings and get involved in this. So, these are running right now for 2025. If you're interested, go to the website, register. And then if you're interested in being a part of what we're doing for 2026, reach out to the Contact Us page and, connect with us, and we'll get you connected to Robin Anderson, and she'll find out your interest, and hopefully we can keep this moving forward. We've got a great relationship with the DIA, and if they have the money, they want to give it to the right people, and they've been very happy with, like Kevin said, the success stories of what we were able to do last year in 2024, and hopefully the same results, maybe even better for 2025.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a great information session. I noticed that all the events that we did this month were virtual.
Oh.
So, I mean, easy opportunities for manufacturers to learn more about these resources, whether it be safety training, whether it be supply chain, whether it be workforce development,
Yeah.
great opportunities for them to just take an hour out of their day, hour and a half, 2 hours maybe, and collect those resources.
That one we will be able to put on the website as well, right? YouTube,
Yes.
sorry, on our YouTube channel. So that video of the webinar itself will actually be posted on our YouTube channel. So you can find that if you are interested in the workplace safety and education training.
Yeah, absolutely. The next event that we had that Mass MEP was a part of was
Part of that, we're the main sponsor,
one of the
right?
main sponsors for, yep,
Okay.
correct, was the Manufacturing Summit and Excellence Awards. And this was hosted by Worcester Business Journal, and we were over at Holy Cross for this event. The Worcester Business Journal was recognizing some of the area's top manufacturers for their 10th annual Central Mass Manufacturing Excellence Awards. This annual event featured a special award ceremony, keynote address from Lily Fitzgerald, her title,
She's a director, yeah.
director for CAM, Center for Advanced Manufacturing, at Mass Tech. And they also had a fantastic panel discussion. I'm going to pick on Olivia once again to kind of share her thoughts about that because she was on the panel with a few other people, and you can kind of talk about that, talk about the questions that were asked, what you spoke to, and how that went for you.
Yeah, no, it was a fun event. It was exciting to be part of the panel. Though I felt like my co-panelists were really the stars of the show. They were the manufacturers. So we had Kinefac and Spadextech and Rochelot Tool. And yeah, they did a great job. We were all posed questions about workforce. There was discussions around artificial intelligence. A little bit of supply chain was thrown in there as well. So it was great to kind of talk about some of the initiatives we have going on regarding those topics at MassMEP. But sitting up on the panel, it was really fascinating to hear all these companies' perspectives, especially from the more established companies to a newer company like Spadextech, talk about where they're at in these different areas. So it was a lot of fun, and I hope that the audience walked away with some great insights on what we're doing at MassMEP and what's important to the manufacturers that are living these challenges and trends on the daily basis. So was happy to be a part of it.
Yeah, the cool thing about this event is it is the Manufacturing Summit and Excellence Awards. And so every year, Chris Prosser, who does a lot of the work, and then the gentleman, who is that? Olivia, do you remember his name that's also very involved with the Worcester Business Journal?
Yes, the gentleman that I think he facilitated it.
Yes, yes.
Brad Kane. Brad
Yeah,
Kane.
yes. So they you the nominations, I think we started, when did we start with the nominations for these? Like, was that in like February, Kevin, when it came out?
Yeah, I think
It
you're
was a
right.
while ago. And so it is Central Mass. So they do look at manufacturers in the Central Mass region. You know, they look at manufacturers that have had excellence over time. I know I wasn't there this year, so I don't really know the winners of who was there. I think I have a list though that I can take a peek at and see who received the awards. Let's see. Do you remember any of them, Liv?
Kinefac won an award. We had Seaman Paper, Spadextech, and I believe Rochelot as well won an award. I think there was a couple others mixed in there. So great to see manufacturers recognized. I feel like I don't want to say an overlooked part of Massachusetts because I think we live it every day, but if you're an outsider looking in, I feel like it's easy to overlook the great work and kind of the heartbeat and pulse that these companies provide. So it was just so cool to be in the room and see them recognized in different categories where they excel. It's awesome because we're lucky to have the companies that we do.
So, I mean, the way that they describe it is that they celebrate the outstanding achievements and innovation across the manufacturing industry, recognizing individuals, teams, and organizations that demonstrate exceptional performance, leadership, and a commitment to continuous improvement. Whether it's breakthrough technology, sustainability efforts, or operational excellence, if you walk in, I guess what I'm saying is if you walk into a manufacturer that has received this award, you know you're in good hands, right? Like there's a reason that they've been presented this award. So it's nice that I agree 100% with you that they do recognize them in Central Mass. So if you go to the website, I don't know if you guys know this or not, but you're famous because
I'm seeing it
are you
right
seeing your
now.
pictures?
I'm
You're
seeing
all over. Yeah,
it
this is great. Olivia, you're in there too,
Oh,
but Kevin is like
wow.
up
Yeah, but
front
it's
and
Deb.
center, like everywhere.
Crazy.
Oh my gosh.
They got a lot of fun. I'm just
Shaking
clicking
hands and kissing
through
babies at this event,
there.
Kevin. Wow.
There's a lot of photos
Gary
there.
Tavares is in here. Like, this is great. Like, seeing every there's Olivia. She's got looks like you're talking to the gentleman from Seth and
Mitchell.
George.
George. Yes, talking to George. Yeah, there's Christy. She was the pr a presenter. There's Christy again. Lots of Christy Gregnon on here. Oh boy, there's Lily. Oh boy. Yeah, these photos are great. Thanks, Chris Prosser at Worcester Business Journal. These are wonderful photos. You might have to try and steal these, Kevin.
I
These are some
know.
great photos. Great photos. Gary,
Quite a
very.
few of them. But
Yeah.
not to mention that Olivia was able to get up on the stage after completing the Boston Marathon just the day before.
Right.
Like she was, I saw she was limping up there a little bit. Her legs were quivering underneath
Thought I
her.
hit it well.
Oh
It's
God.
funny because Christy was like, and she wore heels too. They
Yeah.
were small. They hardly could count as heels. They were little ones, but no, it was fun. It was the stair. There was only three stairs to get up on stage. So had it been more, we might have been some trouble, but it wasn't too many.
It's funny.
Yes,
Right.
great.
Yeah.
Oh, Liv, there's a great photo of you on the stage with Leslie next to you. Who is the gentleman on your right?
That's Brad.
Okay. Great photo of you on stage. These are really good photos. Yeah, Kevin, we might have to reach out to Chris and ask her for some of these. They did a great job. Their
That's a good one.
photographer did a really good job.
Yeah.
So this is really nice. Wonderful. Wonderful. Oh, there's Kinefat. Yeah, this is great. I love it. Good photo. So yeah, so if you go to WorcesterBusinessJournal.com and you go under their events, you'll be able to see the Manufacturing Summit and Excellence Awards if you want to take a peek at the photos and see what we're talking about. You can actually even access Lily Fitzgerald's keynote presentation too. You can look at it from there as well. Yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So that's a fun event. We do it every year. We do sponsor it. We do believe in it. We're very passionate about it. So thanks to everybody that participated, Liv, especially to you for being there and being on the panel.
My pleasure. Thanks for the shout out.
Yeah, you got it. Where are we headed next? Then what did we do? Where did
So
we go?
next, on April 24th, we had our Fair Chance 101 webinar. This 1 hour virtual workshop was covering the business case for fair chance employment and the fundamentals of adopting fair chance practices. This was Matt Berard's event, workforce development. So if you want to just go into what do you mean by fair chance employment and how the event was and what'd you think?
Yeah, no, it was a great event. It's the first time we've held this seminar, but it was an opportunity to get information out to manufacturers across the state, all right, on fair chance hiring. So what do we mean by fair chance hiring is hiring individuals that have been behind the wall, all right, for different reasons that are interested in working in manufacturing. And there is a concern out there with all employers across the state on what does it mean to hire an individual that's been incarcerated. And so this was an opportunity for us to bring in some subject matter experts, Lisa Duncan, and I'm going to try this, Kalila Olakanola, otherwise endearingly known as KO. Came in from Jobs for the Future, and they presented on debunking the myths about hiring individuals that have been incarcerated or have a quarry. So it was a great start off. It was a kickoff event. Following this 1 hour event, we're going to have four subsequent different sessions in May, June, and July. To go over now specific information that was garnered from the participants of the event. So there was a needs assessment that was done at the end of the event, and we looked for for that information. What do you want us to teach you about or answer the concerns you have in the next four sessions? So as they're working through that now, we'll have, topics described for the next events. But again, it was just an opportunity to get in front of manufacturers and really answer questions for them and provide them with some great information, because JFF does this training across the country, and they've worked with many manufacturers from small to large, and really has helped turn the dial as far as hiring non-traditional workforce, which is, this population that we're talking about, and more specifically for Mass MEP, with our training programs that we have behind the wall training, and we've had some difficulty finding employers that are truly interested in hiring candidates that have a quarry, all right? And it's just an opportunity to open the doors, all right? And let them see what quality can come from these individuals. These individuals, as we're finding out that we're training, most of them have background in manufacturing or logistics or supply chain. And now we're going in and providing them with a real full-fledged training program. Now they're coming out with a sense of urgency, right? On a sense of accomplishment. And more importantly, wanting to make a difference, getting back into manufacturing, getting a job, creating a career for themselves, and build a family, right? And it's just a great opportunity. And that's where we saw this as that chance to do it. And it is also something we're going to do next year. So this is not going to go away. We're going to keep rolling this out until we can, make sure everybody understands the perspective of hiring individuals from areas that they would never technically would have never looked at before.
So Matt, you said it's a series. So does this then allow, like, if they didn't attend the first session, is that a problem? Can they attend the next three, or how does that work?
No, they can attend the next four events. They can attend. We'll have it posted on our website, and I will be reaching out. Or if you want to reach out to me, I'm more than happy to send you the next links. Those dates are May 21st, June 12th, June 26th, and July 17th. So if you're interested, please reach out, and I'll be more than happy to set you up to be in attendance.
Yeah, yes, we will get that. I don't believe it looks like it's not loading right now, so it could be that it's sitting on the back end and is in queue and we just need to reload it, but it will be on the website as well, so that if you have any issues, and then if you need to, you can always go into the contact us as well, and then when you do your drop down selection, you can select workforce and then type in a little note if you do want to get connected with Matt directly, and then we can forward that information along to him, and then he can do a little reach out for you. So this will be a fun series for you then. So it's kind of workshoppy too, isn't it? The way that you do it.
So it's again, we do it as a, I mean, the first one was a webinar, but the next four are going to be well, actually on Teams. But it's just an open conversation now. It's answering the asking questions and then answering the questions from the participants. So it's one-on-one. It's really specific to the individual's concerns that exist. And it's again, it's not us preaching. It's not JFF preaching. It's now let's have the conversation. What are those concerns? What do you specifically have for a concern? Because everyone has a little different concern, and sometimes it's HR, sometimes it's the executive team, but this is a way to get everybody involved to answer those questions or move the dial, right? Because sometimes it's part of one part of the organization that is interested, and the other part is no. Right. So it's able to bridge that gap also to bring the opportunity to light, because we know that individuals that have come through the program are typically ones that will stay longer in employment if they get that second chance, because there's a reason for them to want to go back to work, and they want to be there. So there's that initiative too. So it's a win-win all the way around once we get the word out there.
All right, cool. Well, good luck. We'll have all that on the website so that they, if anybody has questions, or yeah, please reach out through the contact us for questions for Matt, and we'll put you in touch with him directly. One last event for the month.
Maybe another one too.
What's that? You did?
Yeah.
What did you do?
We started our graduation from ACWIC.
Oh, those are not on the website. So those
No, that just
they go
happened.
under the radar. When did you do? Okay, so MACWIC is a certification program that we have. Kevin was heavily involved with MACWIC at one point, and it is now in its rightful place, obviously, with workforce, because it makes sense. And it is a great program. It is a certification program. We've talked about this in the past, that it allows students to have a leg up, I would say, to get a little bit of a head start. We do it in the Volk schools. And I think there are some traditional schools that do it as well. They will do the certification. The programs are.
So level one is shop math, blueprint reading, metrology, safety, and then work readiness. And then there's a level two with lean training, CNC programming and geometric dimensioning and tolerancing.
Yeah, GD&T.
Then CNC lathe concepts and then CNC mill concepts to round out level two.
Yeah.
But it's a great program. A lot. It's also been used in some of the various CTI programs
Yeah.
for adult learners.
Yep.
But it's we just started off our graduation series, and we're running three graduations this year. Our first one was held yesterday at Tantaska Voc Tech. It was a great turnout. A lot of energy. Some parents showed up, so it was just a great opportunity to honor these students at the Voc Tech for completing not only completing both, some completed level one, some completed both level one and level two. But more importantly, these are individuals that are not interested in going to secondary education. These are candidates that are interested in going into manufacturing. So a great opportunity to connect with local manufacturers with these Voc Techs to bring in entry-level talent that have been trained the right way and have had that hands-on experience where you can now mold them and build them into a career.
Yeah.
So that happened yesterday, and we have two more in the month of May coming up, and look forward to be doing these again next year throughout the course of the year.
Yeah. So you, yeah. And then I know, like you said, obviously, then over time, I think the goal, we used to do these all the time back in the day. And then COVID hit and we had to kind of readjust things. So it's great to see that this is kind of, it's the phoenix rising from the ashes, coming back to life again. And that you're able to do these graduations. Obviously, the reasons that we can't put them on the website and to post them is for security reasons. They are students, they are minors, and the school systems do not allow us to promote any of that. But we can verbally speak to it, and we can acknowledge what the students have accomplished and their success rate. And that I think, if anything, what we can say and show is that there is a place for everyone, and everyone has a place. I think if that's anything that you've discussed in the past two things that you've said, you're able to find something for someone, no matter what it is and where they're coming from. And we try to do the best with that. So yeah, great job. Kudos. Kudos, kudos. So one of these times, maybe we'll get some cake from that you'll be able to bring back from the these Vo-Tech schools. They have these culinary departments, and they make the most amazing cakes. Amazing
Yeah.
cakes.
Unfortunately, I wasn't there yesterday, but the Votech, the freshmen in the culinary supposedly knocked it out of the park with the desserts and the muffins that were made. And Great food. So we got two more of them. Hopefully I'll get to be able to go to those two and see what
Well,
that's like.
I mean, sometimes you need a photographer to go along to, to take pictures of, can't take pictures of faces, but I mean,
Right.
I don't know what we're taking pictures of, but if there's cake there and you need a picture of the cake, let me know.
Will do.
All right. Well, sorry we missed that one, but then our really last event we had of the month was you were busy this month, ma'am. You had a lot going on. You were really, really busy this month. I didn't realize that. Yeah. What was the last event of the month, Kevin?
It was Navigating Tariffs, Strategies for Resilient Manufacturing. This was, they could join MassMEP for an informative webinar on the current tariff environment and actionable strategies for small to medium-sized manufacturers. This was spearheaded by Olivia Antonelli and then had three other panelists on the webinar as well, if you want to speak to that a little bit.
Sure. Yeah, it was an exciting event because tariffs have been a hot topic for quite some time now. So it was great to bring subject matter experts on board and to share about what they've been seeing and what they've been doing with their clients. So it was a great event. So we had Rosemary Coates, who is the executive director of the Reshoring Institute, which is a nonprofit organization that basically, it's in the name. It helps companies figure out how to reshore their products. Their mission is to bring manufacturing back to the United States. They do consulting, they do research, they collect data, all different types of things. So Rosemary is incredibly impressive. She's written a bunch of books on the topic. She's a best-selling author. She
Oh.
has done worked with like over 80 companies across the globe. She sat on like these high-level supply chain global trade cases. I'm probably not paraphrasing this all correctly, but if you get the message that she's an impressive individual, then I did my job because we were very lucky to have her on the panel. So we had her, and she kind of highlighted some of the in excuse me, some of the research that they've been doing with different companies. They conducted this big study with all different companies and surveyed them on how they were responding to tariffs. So we had companies in the semiconductor industry, textiles, printing, sports equipment, water equipment, machining, and a bunch of others, and posed a bunch of questions, like I said again, on how they're responding to tariffs. So she was talking about how some of them were just absorbing the costs and passing the costs on to customers. She highlighted, I think, that 44% of the companies they surveyed were moving out of China, and then a higher percentage were moving to new locations. Some companies were redesigning products, re-engineering to try and kind of avoid some of the tariffs, to get lesser ones. And then she also gave strategies. So not just highlighting what companies were doing, but highlighted different strategies for how to mitigate tariffs to the best of their ability. So she talked about that, and it piggybacked into another group, New Page Associates, who we're very lucky to now have as a third-party provider at MassMEP. They talked about tariffs as well and how to figure out what your harmonized tariff codes are, because it's not easy. Goes well over my head, but basically you have to search. I love the example that they gave. You have to search on this website, which I'm not going to speak poorly of it, but it does not look like the easiest thing to navigate. So you have to search this website and figure out what your code is. But for example, if you're looking for a television, you can't just search television. It's called like a light emitting diode panel or something like that. It's very complicated. So New Page Associates was talking about how you figure out what your tariff codes are, and they also gave some insights on how to mitigate some of the risks with tariffs and navigate the environment right now. They provided that high level overview and really made it clear to the audience that they're also there outside of the webinar to support our clients if they're facing some of these challenges. So it was awesome. We had a great attendance. And yeah, was just really grateful to have experts of their caliber on the panel to talk about this really sensitive topic because it's complicated and you don't want to make rash decisions or wrong decisions. You want to make sure you're talking to the right people who know and live this every day. So it was great.
I think it's awesome because I think that is one of the biggest discussion points we had spoke to over the couple of weeks where this was, it was being thrown in every direction possible, and we needed, and I know you guys were always looking at, with obviously you're in supply chain every day, who are these experts that you can speak to? Because there are so many people that are not educated and do not understand what a tariff actually is. And so, again, we our responsibility is to educate, and that's what we do. And being able to bring experts like this in to have this conversation was hopefully effective for those that participated. Did you get any odd questions that you were kind of threw people for a loop in there, or were they pretty standard what everybody was asking if they, when of the questions that were being asked?
I think there was one that was really specific to an industry that had a limited amount of domestic manufacturers. So they were just trying to figure out, I mean, reshoring wasn't necessarily the best option or an option for them based on what they were looking to, what they were battling with tariffs on. So that was a tricky one. I forget how they responded to that question, but it was eloquent, and I think it answered the qu person's question in full form. So that was the only one that kind of had me scratching my head, but it was probably an everyday one for Rosemary, Jurgen, and Dan from New Page Associates and the Reshoring Institute.
Was the question asked? I think one of the biggest questions we always think of, or the curiosity of it, is what happens today may not be still true tomorrow. And so was that brought up at all? Like, do
Oh yeah.
we, if we worry about this today, do we need to be concerned about it tomorrow?
Yeah, no, that was definitely brought up. It was even brought up before the webinar started because I had to check with Rosemary, who provided an overview on the current tariffs. She had to check the news as soon as she woke up that day to make sure stuff wasn't changed on her slides. So, yes, it was brought up before. And then that was one of the big things that she highlighted in terms of how to respond to the tariffs was staying abreast of the news and on changes with tariffs and the geopolitical landscape. So, yes, I don't know if I just answered your question, Haley,
Oh,
did
you
I?
did. I think you did, because I think there's that question as to where do they go to find that out? Because, I mean, we talk about it. We talk about, what news I watch, you may not watch, and Kevin may not watch. So he might watch something different. And so, at some in between all of those, there's always the truth of things. So, like, where's this main place that you go to get this information where you really, or in something of a topic like this, is everybody as accurate as they can be from the information they're being given?
Yeah, she did say to that point, one of her key bullet points again on that how to respond to tariff segment was working with your customs broker to stay up to date on the different information coming out and to review different import classifications, the potential for duty drawbacks and use of foreign trade zones and other different trade strategies. So she was definitely pushing to talk with those experts, whether it's your customs broker or other resources out there, but that is a specific one that she highlighted.
Okay. Well, that was April. That was a lot in April.
Yeah.
I thought April was supposed to be an easy month for us for events. I thought no.
Didn't
Is there
sound like
any easy months nowadays?
It's a good
That is
point.
what I say, Matt, on a regular basis. That is what I say on a regular basis. Yes, you are correct. That is a very valid point. So but thank you both for participating. And given the rundown of the events, we obviously have a lot of stuff going on in May, but we're cutting close on time. So, if people are want to know what's going on, you can go into our website. I think the biggest thing we're going to remind everybody of is our Manufacturing Your Future event. And you both have a breakout session, so you both will be there for that as well. So, thanks, guys. Thanks for being a part of this. We appreciate it. I
Thanks for
think
having
about
us.
it. Yeah, did we get everything, Kevin? April all squared away?
All squared away.
All right, cool. Well, then on to May. May the 4th be with you, and we will see everybody in the month of May, and then June, July, August, September, October, November, and December, and then hopefully in 2026 as well. But yeah, thanks everybody for listening to the Mass MEP Manufacturing Podcast, and we'll see you next time.
See ya.
Thank you for listening to the Mass MEP Manufacturing Podcast, Transforming Manufacturing Enterprises.
You can subscribe to our channel anywhere you listen to your podcast, or you can always go to our website at massmep.org.
We'll see you next time, whether it's in
our space,
your space,
or cyberspace.